College football nerds here talking Ohio State and Oregon football. Huge matchup in week two. Ohio State already kind of had a huge matchup in week one with Minnesota. A lot came out of that game that we're going to discuss. And just want to do a little housekeeping reminders. We did a 3-hour live show last night that was a lot of fun. I say last night, today is Sunday. Whenever you're watching this, maybe Monday. It will be posted, or it's already posted for replay on our YouTube channel, but it'll also be posted in podcast form for some of y'all that want to listen in your commute or whatever, especially since it's long. I'll link that in the description for the newcomers and the people that have been here for a while. You know, in the description or in the comments, you got to tell us what this score is going to be. Let us know what you think about this game. As we talk, we'll dive in there with you. Okay, Josh. There's a lot to talk about here, especially for both of these teams. And I think that a lot of people are going to overreact to the Oregon-Fresno number, not realizing that Fresno State's actually a pretty good team, especially offensively. They're a pretty good team, maybe not defensively. Just like in a way that a lot of people are killing Oklahoma for giving up points to Tulane, and I think it's a little unfair because Tulane actually has a really good offense. There's some of that going on. And we're going to – the last two things we've seen from Oregon were a pretty large margin loss to Iowa State and then this kind of ugly game against Fresno. I'll touch on one, and I'll have you touch on the other. One, the Iowa State game was a lot more competitive than the score showed. Oregon really held their own defensively. They did not give up anything to Purdy. I think he had like 5.4 yards per attempt or something crazy in that game. It was just a lot of turnovers and kind of a weird game. So don't put too much into that. It was also last year. It was 2020. Iowa State had played a ton of games. Oregon had not played many games. So don't put too much stock in that game, y'all, especially Ohio State fans when you're thinking about this one. I want you to talk about kind of what you saw in the Fresno game yesterday. Again, this Sunday for us, in terms of maybe why people shouldn't overreact to that final score because it might have shown a little bit better in Oregon than people.
The biggest thing you have to keep in mind is Fresno was actually 16th in the country in yards per attempt last year, 16th best passing offense between UCF and Clemson. They returned the quarterback, and you know, if you get a guy back that was like 9 yards per attempt, 2,000-yard passer, 2,000-yard passer, and I'll add, he did that in, what, like 6 games? Yeah, 6 games he managed 2,000 yards last year. They can be pretty good. And a lot of that score between Oregon and Fresno was Fresno scoring points because they were good and Oregon scoring points maybe because Fresno was bad defensively. I felt like a lot of people are going to have the wrong takeaway, that Oregon might be worse on defense than they expect. That maybe they're going to be softer on defense, but Oregon is still Oregon offensively. The reality was Fresno earned their yardage, and it was still 6.9 yards per attempt. That was a 21-6 game with about a minute left in the first half, and they went 2 minutes, and Fresno was just super efficient moving the ball down the field and managed to score in a long drive. And they did the same thing coming out of the half, and all of a sudden that was like I don't know, I'm having to do math in my head, but it was 21 all, yeah, coming out of the half when they thought they had it launched up. And I think just for a couple drives there, Oregon sort of took their foot off the gas and were surprised by how good Fresno was offensively. But defensively, Fresno was not really, I don't think, great. And the trick there was Oregon didn't really do anything particularly well, frankly. They 7.2 yards per attempt from Anthony Brown, 3.8 yards per carry. Those are really pedestrian numbers. The reason this game was really close more than anything is that Oregon was never able to really pull away. And the biggest thing I'll say as a negative from Oregon in that game was I was really not impressed with any of their skill position players being explosive. Johnny Johnson looked like he was their best receiver. He's a fifth or sixth year player, transfer from Penn State if memory serves. And it has always kind of been this theoretical deep threat that's never quite come through, and it kind of looked like it in this game too. Oregon, unlike the Oregons of old, there's not many guys on this team where they can flip a little swing pass or something and he's going to just explode up the field for a big play. The best thing they had going for him was rotating Verdell and Dye that are good backs, but from the world that Ohio State realms in, I don't know that Verdell and Dye really register much more than solid rotational backs. And then they have Anthony Brown, who's a really, really good athlete and a good runner and can create some things. That's how they put the game away. It was a really super impressive, it was an option play, but almost turned into a scramble by Brown. But in the passing game, he's pretty limited. So that's my overall takeaway. I'm not trying to be ultra critical, but you know, Fresno State is not a top tier opponent, and Oregon did have to, you know, put them away really at the end of the ball game. The other obvious thing is that Thibodeau went out with an ankle injury. Maybe he's okay for next week, but man, I mean, I have a hard time seeing a pass rusher being particularly effective if he had enough of an ankle injury to knock him out of a close game. So yeah, I mean, Oregon, I think, probably much better defensively than a lot of Ohio State fans are going to realize. But offensively is really where my concerns were in that game against Fresno.
Yeah, and I think Thibodeau's the best player in the country. And I think that if he's got a bad wheel, that really takes a lot of that game away from him, even if he's available to play. But on the flip side, Ohio State fans are going to say, look, we had to play without two corners. Proctor got hurt early in that game against Minnesota, so we're banged up too, which I think is a fair point. And we don't know, because Day is not real transparent about, which is his right, about injuries and letting us know who's going to play and who's not going to play. It's, again, it's Sunday afternoon. We don't know yet. So we're going to be making picks kind of blind here, but I do think that the loss you have on the Oregon side of the ball with the best player in the country is probably collectively an equal loss in three or four players that might not be 100% or might not be there at all for Ohio State. And I think Oregon still is a very good defensive team, even without him. Schematically, they've impressed me, and I think they'll hold their own. Let's talk a little bit about what we saw from Ohio State. We got killed by Ohio State fans, even though we picked them to cover, and I think I had them winning by 17, I think, so pretty close there. I think you had them winning by a little more. People really got on you about your initial observations of Stroud and what you expected from him. You said he wasn't super accurate in the spring game. There's some concerns there, throwing the ball, and that you thought they might ease him into it a little bit by running him, which they didn't do ultimately. I think, this is my theory on what we saw against Minnesota, I think that Ryan Day was trying to go vanilla and protect, keep in his back pocket, the thing that he knows he has with Garrett Wilson, with Olave, and Stroud, in that there are shot plays to be had in this offense. And I think he wanted to hold that back and save it for Oregon. And it got into the second half, and he really just said, okay, screw it. We got to do this because we got to win this game. So that's my kind of take on why there was so much struggle early on from Stroud. I still think he's getting his feet under him and all that. But the running game was there a little bit. Tell me, how do you feel in terms of how that game played out against Minnesota? Was it about what you expected offensively? Are you concerned a little bit, or are you feeling pretty good right now if you're an Ohio State fan?
I think you should be somewhat concerned because it was hot or cold. You should be encouraged by what they look like in the second half. And I do agree with you. I think Ohio State came out. I mean, they were throwing more than they were running. We even put a tweet out. We were baffled why they weren't running more, because they were averaging over 10 yards a carry early in the game. And they were still, I think it was like 14 passes to 11 carries. And the passing game was really just not there yet. And I think they were trying to be a high efficiency offense, kind of come out, like you said, be vanilla, but give him easy early throws and get him going. And the problem that I've seen so far with Stroud is he's got the ability to throw anywhere in the field, but he doesn't do any of them consistently, if that makes sense. Like the talent's there that he can hit a bomb, he can throw a rope 40 yards down the field, but he also might miss a 7-yard completion. And when you try to do the efficient passing game, which is sort of the JT Barrett mold, you need to hit those 7-yard plays really consistently. And Barrett struggled with downfield throws. Like, he has a lot of limitations with his arm. And so if teams took away that short underneath efficient stuff and you know, they managed to jam and disrupt the receivers tight and close windows, he didn't really have a plan B. I don't think Stroud has the same limitation. But if you try to make him play Barrett's game where, you know, that's all you're throwing, I think he ends up looking kind of limited. And I think we saw that a little bit. And I think in the second half, they decided to open it up and started taking shot plays. They were throwing a lot further down the field. I'll say the line gave him more time, which was a big deal. But when they got one-on-one with Wilson or Olave, without, you know, in the RPO era, it's hard to get safety help anymore. The receivers just roasted Minnesota. And it felt like that play was really open most of the game. I will say, Minnesota and Oregon, I don't think are comparable defensively. Like Sewell at Oregon, and, you know, Minnesota has Justin Flo, the number one linebacker of the country. I don't know if they have Thibodeau, but just like Flo is someone that Minnesota would bend backwards over to get on their team. He's so much better than anybody Minnesota rolled out there. It really was what I thought it would be. It took them a lot longer to get there. People were also really critical because I didn't think Henderson would be a massive factor. I didn't think Stroud's deep game would be a massive factor early. And it's just because, look, it's not that I don't think those guys aren't capable and that they're not going to be an important part of the season. I just know what coaches do in game one, which is you're not going to use your freshman running back in a tight game when you have no idea if he's going to fumble when he's really hit or how he's going to handle things with the lights. Is he going to whiff pass block when they see some sort of defensive scheme they haven't seen before? And you know, Ohio State had a lot of confusion early. I think Henderson's going to be a big part of the game later on. I think Stroud's going to be asked to take a lot more shots deep, but you just don't do that in game one with first-time starters. But, yeah, so I don't think you should be too concerned. But I do think there are enough growing pains that I think I do think Oregon is going to give Ohio State a lot more issues than Minnesota did. I think that's the short version.
I think I disagree a little bit. I think that it's great that Ohio State had kind of a show me game, a pressure game out of the gate, especially on the road. There's a lot of tape now and a lot of learning that's going to happen week one to week two for Stroud and for Day as a play caller to know what he can and can't do right now with his personnel. That offensive line was fantastic, I thought, especially as the game went on. Your point about Henderson is good and well taken because a lot of people were killing us about that whole thing. And like, oh, he's so good. Y'all don't know, you know. Yeah, he's great. I think he's really great. He really flashed on his touchdown. But when they were salting the game away or salting the half away, he wasn't out there, right? Mine was out there to grind out the win. And so I think that in those key moments, that's what we're talking about. And it turns out like he didn't get that many carries, which was expected.
He got three touches. I mean, he looked really good in those touches. And like the screen was a great play. I mean, I know there wasn't people talk about it's easy to run in a straight line, but it's not easy to run a straight line and blow by P5 players. But that was one of three touches he got in the ball game. And that was really what my expectation was. It wasn't that he was bad, it's that he probably wouldn't get the ball very much.
You even said last night on our live show, like halfway through the season or even sooner, we expect because he is better than Teague, you know, Master Teague or mine, we expect him to ultimately be RB1 there, and he's shown it already. But there's a whole lot more going on putting your trust in a guy than just that. So, I disagree with you a little bit. Like, I'm less concerned about this Ohio State offense, and I think that they have got time and room to figure out and sort all of it out. I know Oregon is coming, you know, right now week two, but if we're talking about playoff picture, they can technically lose this game and still be pretty comfortable, especially with what happened with Clemson in terms of the playoff race. But for me, like if I'm thinking about where I'm concerned if I'm Ohio State right now, I'm thinking it's these injuries. And if I'm thinking about where I'm concerned if I'm Oregon, I still feel pretty good about my defense. But man, I don't know if I've got a quarterback. And really, based on what we've seen, like, let's talk about this. Let's have a little bit of a reset before we get into predictions. What's your path to victory in this game if you're Oregon? Like, what does a win look like? What are the ideal conditions and circumstances? And what do you think you would need to see for Oregon to get a win in this game?
I'll hinge that off something that we talked about with Ohio State against Minnesota early, which is Ohio State was closer that game in many ways to being up 20 to nothing than they were to having a you know, tied or being losing the game in the second quarter. But Minnesota hit on key plays that really turned the tide of the game, right? Converting on fourth down, you know, getting a penalty on an interception. Those are the things that kept Ohio State from being able to pull away. And if you're Oregon, I think you have to kind of hope for the same thing. I mean, Ohio State, to me, they didn't really struggle with the explosive play. I mean, Stroud ended up with almost 300 yards passing. And there's probably people laughing because we said he had issues because he had four touchdowns in the game. Our concern is when we're trying to project it out, that he struggled with a lot of the routine stuff. Like, he hit the explosive where the guy was really open for the most part. I mean, he had a couple misses, but for the most part, he hit those. He struggled more in the first and seven, hitting the reading and hitting the guy underneath for 7 yards to make it second and three. That's where I felt like they were really struggling more. And so I think if you're Oregon, the path to success is keep stuff in front of you. Know that you have a solid defense that hopefully isn't going to give up stupid explosives, and make Ohio State execute offensively on a consistent basis. And then on the offensive side of the ball, if you're Oregon, you know, Ohio State looked really confused at times. I thought their linebacker play has had issues for a couple years. We talked about this on the live show, and it showed up again, a lot worse than I anticipated. The line, I thought the D-line probably was unfairly maligned. Now, they didn't get a ton of push, but Minnesota was stacking the line of scrimmage. But usually, when you do that, it's the linebackers that start showing up because they kind of get free reign. There's not a lot of traffic or coverage responsibilities, and they kind of flow free. And Ohio State didn't see that. So if I'm Oregon, I mean, I'm gonna double down on my run game more than anything, and just see if Ohio State can flow to the ball. I'm probably gonna spread you out a lot more than Minnesota did, because then I put less defensive linemen on the field for Ohio State. That's their strength. I put worse personnel potentially if there's still injury issues. Maybe Proctor's out. Now you've got backup safeties in. You know, maybe the corners aren't there, so you got backup corners, and the linebackers have a lot more responsibilities on top of it. And I just start moving side to side because I may not have game breakers, but I do have a running quarterback that lets me do some things schematically most teams can't. I mean, Minnesota, a lot of times in that game, they would have a zone read, and if the quarterback had kept it, it would have been a big play. But Tanner Morgan was no threat to run, and Ohio State figured that out at some point and was able to kind of shut things down. Anthony Brown could be a running back, straight up. And so Oregon, I think, is going to be a lot more aggressive in saying, okay, we're going to spread you out, and we're going to see if you actually can run your assignments right. And it on both sides of the ball, it's going to be, we're just going to do routine stuff. We're going to stick with it. And as long as we can stay in the game, we're going to see if Ohio State screws up. And we're not going to give Ohio State anything. We're not going to try to press, probably try to shorten the game and see if Ohio State's kinks are still there. They give us some points, and then maybe we're in it late in the game and we got a chance to win. I think that's the best path if you're Oregon.
And for me, the path for Ohio State is lean on your pretty large advantage in terms of skill position players on offense compared to Oregon, and the ability to hit that shot. I agree with you. I think that if Oregon can take away that shot play, it might cause some concern for this Ohio State offense or discomfort. I do think that there's going to be a lot of growth week one, week to week two with Stroud that I'm looking forward to. For me, I like the defense, even with the guys out. Like, a lot of Ohio State fans wanted to blame or to say, like, we've got corners out, but Burke looked good to me. I think the linebackers were a bigger concern than anything else. I love this D-line still. So there might be some opportunity in zone read to keep the ball off the quarterback and run it, you know, whatever that Tanner Morgan couldn't do. I think Tanner Morgan's a better passer, and there's a better vertical passing threat. And I think for three quarters of that game, they're a lot better, Minnesota, at running back than Oregon is. So I'm going to go ahead and give my pick, and then you can give me yours. The line hasn't come out yet for this game, but give me Ohio State 37, Oregon 24. I think Ohio State really is going to look a little bit cleaner this game than last game. Tell me what you got.
You made me pick the route for Oregon to win, which I tried to walk through, but the truth is I don't think they will. I mean, I've got Ohio State 34-17. I just don't think Oregon has enough things to threaten Ohio State to do well. And ultimately, we talked about this a little bit before the video. I think to beat Ohio State, you need to do something really well on offense. You don't have to be a completely balanced offense that's good in all phases right now. Ohio State right at this moment is not good enough defensively that they can necessarily shut down a one-dimensional team. But like Minnesota is a really genuinely very good run team, especially with Ibrahim when he was healthy. They were a really good run team, and Ohio State struggled to match that aspect. Now, I think Oregon is probably a little better passing or a little more complete passing. They've got a little more depth in terms of skill positions than Minnesota. I'm not sure if it's that significant. I don't know that Brown is a better quarterback than Morgan. I don't really think he is. I think just that maybe they have a little bit better receiving talent. But it's if there's an edge there, it's minor. But I don't think they're nearly as good a running team as Minnesota is. I don't think they're nearly as good. And if you don't do anything well offensively, like anything really well, and you don't have something you can lean on, I don't think you can really exploit Ohio State, because that's what's been them the past couple of years, is a team that had really good production in one area or another, and Ohio State sort of struggled with that area. So I think it's going to be a bit of a slow game for Ohio State to pull away, and maybe a little bit like Minnesota. I think Stroud's going to round into form more. I'm not as concerned in game two, but I think Ohio State will sort of keep a narrow lead through the first half, and in the second half, when Oregon gets tired, Ohio State will be able to pull away. They'll hit some shots. The one thing that I don't really expect to happen, and I'll flag this, is Ohio State fans that are thinking, oh, we're playing a Pac-12 team, so we're going to run them over. Oregon is not built like most Pac-12 teams. They've got five-star talent in that front seven, at least some of it. And they've got some real Big Ten, SEC caliber defenders. They've got size and power. I don't think you're just going to run them over. I think it's going to be more of a slow bleed. And the fact that you, not that Oregon is bad defensively, just that you're really good. And that Garrett Wilson and Olave, in these modern schemes, if you've got a player like that, they're going to get theirs. And they're going to, you know, you can hit a 30 mark on anybody if you've got that kind of an athlete and you run an RPO scheme. And I think that's what's going to happen. Ohio State's going to get it. It's going to be earned points. It's going to take time to get those earned points. And I think Oregon just lacks comparable talent or quality, and they're going to struggle to find a way to get explosives on Ohio State and actually, you know, actually stay with them as the game progresses.
All right, real quick, few seconds. How many touches for Henderson, Ohio State, in this game?
I'm going to say six.
That was my number two. So, six.
And a lot of it depends on the number of plays, right? I mean, Ohio State only ran 48 offensive plays. Do people realize that in the Minnesota game? That's half a normal game. So that's a big part of it, right? Partly due to the fact they were struggling early and partly due to the fact that they scored so quick late. But, you know, if it's a 90-play game, it's maybe a different number.
Yeah, and Ohio State also had like three scoring drives of one, two, four plays, that sort of thing, which really – really hurts you. I think we saw that with Florida's offense last year, too. All right, y'all. That's it for Ohio State and Oregon. Oregon fans, feel free to disagree with us in the comments. We love data-driven discussions. So let us know in the comments what you think about this game and how it's going to turn out. And we're going to plug our live show again Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. For the foreseeable future, we're going to do these every Saturday night as long as y'all love them. You can check us out then and catch the one that we did this previous Saturday as well. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week, and God bless.